follow us on Twitter at VoiceAmericaTRN. Get the lowdown on guests, new shows, and your favorites. That's VoiceAmericaTRN.
Good morning, and welcome to Being Here with host Ariel and Shia Kane. The Kanes will take you on an exciting exploration which will open the door to living in the moment. Now, here are your hosts, Ariel and Shia.
Good morning.
Good afternoon.
Good evening. Welcome to Being Here. I'm Ariel.
I'm Shia.
What a beautiful day. It's windy here.
Windy and cold.
I kind of like it, though. Very alive, very alive. So welcome, welcome. And today we're talking about the myth of childhood bliss.
Well, Christmas has just passed, you know, and we had the incredible opportunity of witnessing our two grandsons under the Christmas tree.
Yes, yes, yes. 5 years old and nine, I believe. It all
eight.
You know, it's kind of like blends
right
now.
They blend, right.
And it was really interesting to watch. But before we get to that, let's talk about how we finish each other's sentences, just as a reminder.
And how we talk about
listening. Listening, 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 listening.
Well, we found that what aids people in getting the most out of our radio show or anything else in their life for that matter is listening, is actually getting engaged in what's happening in their life as though that's all that's happening, rather than go off on side conversations in their head about what they should be doing, could be doing, or to have done. And rather than agreeing or disagreeing with what they're hearing, but actually listen to it to hear what the person who's speaking is saying from their point of view. Now, if you were to do that, it would pull you into the current moment of now. And when you get into the current moment of now, your life transforms. It happens as an aside. It happens as a add-on.
A side benefit.
A side benefit. Yeah, benefits. I like benefits. Anyway.
He digresses. But I like it.
I'm bad. It's just part of the game. Listening. Listening gets you into the current moment. If you get into the current moment, your life transforms. It's that simple.
Now, I know for those of you who are listening live that we're at the end of the year and you have lots of projects. But it really doesn't matter if you're listening live or listening on an to the show in an archived version. You have a busy life. This show can be an oasis of now, where you're just here. So take a moment and stop and simply listen, as opposed to follow the scatterings of your mind. Just keep bringing yourself here into this moment.
Now, here's the thing. We're not trying to get anywhere. We don't have a intended purpose for this radio show with an intended result. We are
simply being here with
that's
you.
That's right. Simply being here with you. And if you call in, we'll simply be here with you in your questions and see what shows up.
Speaking of which, it is a live show today. So if you'd like to call in, the number is 866-472-5795. That's 866-472-5795.
So our approach is not psychotherapeutic. It is not a fix-you-up, problem-solution-oriented approach. Our approach is anthropological. We've discovered that if you get into the current moment of your life by observing your life non-judgmentally, that's enough to have situations that have been plaguing you transform in an instant so they no longer hold sway over your life.
There are three very basic principles to instantaneous transformation. The first is anything you resist persists, grows stronger, it dominates your life.
So we were in the doctor's office yesterday, and nothing wrong with us, but for our regular
healthy regimen.
Healthy regimen. And there was a police officer there who was, to the best of his knowledge, just talking with us. But in fact, he was complaining about how his wife didn't listen to him or how she found fault with what he did.
It was amazing how many times he could sprinkle in to the casual conversation, oh, I battle with my wife about this, or I'm always on my wife about that. The fight was sprinkled, sown, spread throughout the entire conversation.
That he resists his wife, what he talks about is his resistance to his wife. So the first principle is anything you resist persists, grows stronger, and it follows you around through your life, and you disagree with it everywhere you are. So that's the first principle.
Second principle is you can only be exactly as you are in any given moment. We said in any given moment, an instant, a slice of time. This is the CAT scan of reality. It's not
it's
moment
not
successive. It's right now in any given instant.
In this moment of now, you can only be exactly where you are and how you are, and your life circumstances can only be what they are. And your history could only have been what it was, because it all brought you to this moment of now. So that's the second principle. And the third principle is anything that you see and allow to be exactly as it is, without resisting it, without agreeing or disagreeing, but just see it as it is, it completes itself in that moment. It gives you space. It allows you to be. Anything you resist sticks around and gives you no space. Anything you allow to be the way it is allows you to be.
I'll give you an example. I don't know if it was something that I was resisting, but it was certainly something that was replaying. I woke up the other night, during the night, and Shai and I are working on our next relationship book, and we're getting pretty close to having it complete at this point. And one of the projects that we had left on our list to do was pull quotes, where you take a sentence and you highlight it as a bolded quote. And I woke up during the night with this term, pull quotes, in my mind, and it played over and over, and I was seeing how it would be done on the page. And I realized if I resisted the fact that my mind was chewing on this, that it would keep me awake all night. And that, secondly, I could only be doing exactly what I was doing. And the third was if I allowed myself to see it, to observe it, to allow it without judging it, it would complete itself. So instead of fighting the fact that I was doing it, I actually fully did it. In my mind, I said, pull quote. And I saw the picture of it, and I was like, great. Now I'll handle it in the morning. And it allowed me to let it complete itself, knowing that there was nothing I could do in that moment short of getting up and working on the project, which wouldn't have been appropriate because with lack of sleep, it wasn't going to be well done. So just simply seeing it was enough to have it resolve and allow me to have sleep. That's three principles. So let's talk about today's show theme.
Yes. You know, we all think that childhood is such a blissful time. Now, I don't know that we all think this, but many of us think that, oh, if I could only have it like I did when I was a kid, where I didn't have to go to work every day.
It was so simple.
It was simple, and summers were so long and wonderful.
/ boring.
And,
you forget the days where you were probably like, I'm bored. I don't know what I want to do.
Well, we had this wonderful opportunity to be around our grandchildren, and the youngest one, Otto, had a meltdown over his not wearing shoes. He wanted to not wear shoes. And
they were getting ready to go out to the park. It was in the 40s. And he wanted to go with his dad and his brother. And they were like, great, put on your shoes. Well, he didn't want to put on his shoes and had a screaming match with his father. Well, his father didn't scream back. But he started crying. And when a shoe went on, he would pull it off. And it was...
He was having a temper tantrum. And I would venture to guess that most of the time in our childhoods, we're involved in a temper tantrum of one sort or another. We were complaining that we didn't like the way it was.
With there were moments where it wasn't happening, but I'd be willing to bet that most of us virtually every day had temper tantrums, and we just don't recall them. If we asked our parents, they could probably recall them because they had to deal with it.
I mean, I remember when my daughter was 2 years old, and we were at a friend's house for Christmas dinner, and she just started to go off, you know, crying. And she, anytime she saw me, she started screaming. There was nothing I could do. It was like, I'm not an abuser. But
I remember Diana, who's actually my stepdaughter, Shia's daughter, but my only daughter, she said something that was really fun for me. She was talking about a conversation she'd had with her mom, Barbara, and Barbara had come across Diana one day crying unconsolably, and the problem was she wanted to get inside her Tonka Troy truck, and she couldn't get her foot. She couldn't actually get herself inside this little toy truck, and she didn't have the spatial acumen. She couldn't figure it out, but it really upset her that she couldn't get inside the truck. As a child, you're putting things together. Your brain is cooking and growing. And
your reality is not at all real.
But the challenge is a lot of the ways your mind worked when you were a child has gotten sophisticated and followed you into your adult life. You may find that you have some similar types of temper tantrums that you had when you were a child, like, you know, when you used to fight having to go to sleep. Do you ever do that now? Like, you know you should go to bed, but you still fight with yourself?
And stay up, even though you know it's going to have you dragged the next day. And then there's the morning when you have to get up.
Yeah, so you're fighting with the alarm clock or whoever happens to wake you. That happened as childhood, too. And don't forget being picked on in school or being made fun of for being different. You know, this is not all a bad thing. Don't worry, we're not trying to depress you here. But one of the things that we were really caught with was the delight, apparent delight in opening presents. But they weren't actually even looking at what they got. They were mainly on to look to see what else was left under the tree while they were ripping open the packaging from their current gift. And that thought process can kind of carry through with you
into your adult life.
And Shia was talking about it last night.
That sometimes when we're out fishing and there's a lot of fish around, and I have a fish on, I'm already looking to get this fish off the line so I can get to the next one. And I equate it with under the Christmas tree where, you know, whatever you've got isn't it, something better is going to come along. So this is about slowing down, getting into the current moment of your life and discovering that what's better has just come along and that this is it. So we've got to take a break now.
So you may as well go into the commercials with a childlike sense of wonder. We can pretend, all of us, since most of us have heard them many times, that it's like a story that our parents read to us many times, worth hearing again. We'll be back shortly, everybody. Come on back.
And don't miss
being here.
Your online community for positive change. Seventh Wave Network.
Ready to be inspired, entertained, and enlightened? Let award-winning authors Ariel and Shia Kane support you in discovering a state of well-being that in the past was rarely, if ever, achieved. Now you too can experience Ariel and Shia's revolutionary new technology, Instantaneous Transformation, that has helped thousands discover how to have more satisfying lives without working on themselves or their problems. Visit www.transformationmadeeasy.com to receive free audio downloads and to sign up for the Canes weekly newsletter featuring articles, inspiring quotes, and stories from real people just like you who have discovered enlightenment through the Canes approach. Visit www.transformationmadeeasy.com. Transformationmadeeasy.com.
Success, health, satisfaction. Now you can have it all. Ariel and Shia Kane make it easy with award-winning books like How to Create a Magical Relationship, winner of the Nautilus Book Award, Being Here, a collection of stories that inspire, amuse, entertain, and enlighten the soul, or their groundbreaking Working on Yourself Doesn't Work, the three simple ideas that will instantaneously transform your life. These important books will hand you the keys to instantaneous transformation, unlocking new possibilities for health, wealth, and satisfaction in all areas of your life. And attend the Canes' fun, interactive workshops in New York, Germany, or even Costa Rica. Experience a quantum shift in your quality of life as you connect with a vital, supportive community and discover your own greatness. The Canes' books and seminars are the perfect enhancements to their radio show, Being Here. Why not have it all? It's as easy as visiting TransformationMadeEasy.com. That's TransformationMadeEasy.com.
Want success in every part of your life? Then join the club, the Excellence Club, the Canes online community of people bringing excellence to all aspects of their lives. Call and ask questions on Being Here. Write comments on the Transformational Moments blog and take excellence to a new level in the Premium Excellence Club. Get the newest articles, podcasts, and weekly videos, plus enlightening advice. Join at TransformationMadeEasy.com by clicking on the Excellence Club. That's TransformationMadeEasy.com, the Excellence Club.
Awakened Media for a transforming world. Seventh Wave Network.
You are listening to Being Here with host Ariel and Shia Kane. If you would like to participate in today's conversation, please call now. The toll-free number is 1-866-472-5795. Again, 1-866-472-5795. Now, back to Being Here.
Welcome back, everyone.
Yes.
We have a caller. Shall we take her?
Let's.
Wendy, are you there?
I am. Hi.
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 Where are you calling from?
I'm calling from Manhattan.
Excellent. Welcome to the show.
Thank you. Thank you. So I had a question.
Yes.
Yes, ma'am.
It's kind of the reverse of childhood bliss, but I just remember as a child that my mom and my brother and I would do different crafts together, painting or drawing, or and my mom was a big she had ceramics and a kiln and whatnot.
Yes.
But it was, I would always get so frustrated, and I'm not really actually sure why, if it maybe it was me not getting things the way I wanted them or whatnot, but I was constantly sent to my room as a result.
As a result of what, Wendy?
Hmm?
You say as a result, but as a result of what were you sent to your room?
I just would throw tantrum tantrums because...
Oh, okay. Now, it just, you know, like, so you were frustrated and threw temper tantrums.
Yes.
Uh-huh.
Yes.
Well, it's interesting that you say always.
I'm just curious
whether it happened on occasion, and of course those are the ones you really remember the most.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because I find that as kids, we register the peaks, not the normal day-to-day times. Like, I don't remember the thousands of meals my mother made me, but I do remember...
The ones you didn't want to eat.
The ones I didn't want to eat or the exceptional ones. And,
right.
And only a few of the exceptional ones. You know, like, she'd make my favorite barbecued chicken on my birthday or... I really loved beef stroganoff, and if we ever got it, it was a treat. So, and I hated risotto. So if she ever made that, I used to call it the last risotto, and I'd try and figure out how to ditch the food. But all of the things that went in between, I don't recall.
Yeah.
Well, I find that interesting. What do you do now for work?
Well, I do graphic design.
You do graphics and design, so you're a type of artist.
I know.
Yeah, so here's the thing. What? Not to blame your mother in any way for you, you mm-hmm. know, but you learned to get frustrated.
Yeah.
See, you grew up in a family where people got frustrated.
Well, I actually saw it with our grandson, Otto. He absolutely got the most attention during that time frame when he was having a temper tantrum. And it was a way for him to rule the roost. He absolutely took over from his sibling, who he is a rival with. And, mm-hmm. you know, he had everybody's attention pinned to him.
Mm-hmm.
Which I think is not unusual. I'm not saying that there's anything wrong with that. I'm saying that's how kids manipulate their environments.
And, you know, we've been trained to do that. We get attention.
Do you find you still have temper tantrums at work now? Has that followed you into work?
It's gotten better, but I definitely have seen how I use it as an excuse to, you know, have a little tantrum of things. But I've noticed it more, and so I think I've just been more aware of it.
And what's happened since you become more aware of it?
It's gone away. I mean,
isn't that interesting? That's that third principle sneaking up on us here.
Mm-hmm.
And as you become aware of your temper tantrums, you don't longer have to have them automatically and mechanically. I like that.
Mm-hmm.
I also find, you know, I mentioned earlier in the show, if you were listening, that Shai and I are working on this book project. And each time we get an aspect of it done, whether it's completing the table of contents or writing all of the interior or figuring out all the headings or the videos that go along with it, each time something's complete, there's the tendency to want to back away from whatever's next. That requires completion, that also requires a creative action. Mm-hmm. And I wouldn't be surprised if some of those temper tantrums came up when faced with something that you don't know how to do yet.
Hmm. Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. I think as a kid, I always saw my brother as somehow just knew how to do things.
Well, you know, I was caught when you said you did craft stuff with your brother and your mother, because when you said the word brother, I just felt as though there was some energy between you and him, like that you were in competition with him or held yourself as less than him.
Well, it's funny. I think as a kid growing up, my perception was that my there was always this constant kind of conversation going on with my mom and my dad about my brother not getting enough attention. And
from who?
Mom never thought my brother got enough attention from my dad.
Mm.
And so it was kind of out in the open that he got more attention. And I don't know if I translated it as a kid for feeling that I wanted
that
my mom's attention because
And you wanted it.
Yeah, I did.
And so temper tantrums were a way of getting attention.
That's true.
You know, I also see it a lot with kids. Like if one child likes Brussels sprouts, the other one has to hate it so that they can establish their own identity. So if one child is excelling or doing the craft project, it's also possible that you could be capable, but you have to have a separate identity that precludes your being good at things because you don't want to have to, you know, compare yourself, so you're just going to do the exact opposite.
Mm.
But in a way, you're getting awful psychological here. We're kind of taking trips down childhood.
I know.
Well, look, your mother and father were fighting, and you had something to do with that.
Probably.
No, definitely. See, before the kids come along, people are much more romantic.
Mm-hmm.
But when the kids come along, there are all these stressors, and the kids push the parents to fight. It's a great way to hide. So if your mother and father are having a disagreement, if you will, over how much attention your father gives your brother, that's definitely a fight. And that you remember it so well, you had something to do with that.
Yeah,
and you see, you don't look at your part in the matter of your parents' disagreements or bickering or fighting. You don't look at how, as a child, you put pressure on your parents for attention. You see, kids grow not only with food, but they grow from attention. They need energy input. And if you don't give it to them, they demand it one way or another. And one of their favorite ways of getting it is by doing things that get negative attention, like having a temper tantrum. See, when you were miserable and sad and feeling sorry for yourself, you got more attention than when you were happy and joyous and having fun.
That's true. I think it became a lifestyle.
It became
story.
A lifestyle, exactly. Yeah. And it's followed you from childhood.
It has.
Now, here's the thing. With awareness, you have the possibility of leaving that behind. And literally leaving it behind. Rather than doing anything to change it or fix it, you can just engage in what's happening in your life and it will fall away all on its own.
And in an instant, you no longer have to be apologetic for yourself or self-effacing or be a smaller version of you where you're, you kind of tip your head like, ah, shucks, is it just me? Where you're not simply fully being yourself unabashedly.
That's so true.
I mean, I don't know if at work you have meetings where, for instance, like creative meetings where people get together and kick around ideas. Do you?
Yeah, we do.
Are you fully participatory or are you hesitant?
I think that I've become more and more, participatory. But I think when I'm leading it or all the attention is on me, I do see myself shrink back, or I think I've been told that, to just jump in with both feet.
Yes.
And I think I see myself with the big toe in.
Yeah, big toe. Only big toe.
I do see that.
Well, I'm excited for you. If you can see it, Wendy, if you can see it, it's over. That's the beginning of the end of it. If you see it and don't judge it as a negative way of being, if you don't give yourself rules to live by, if you don't try to force yourself to be a better you, but you just notice that you have a hesitancy to speak up, that's enough for that hesitancy to clear up. But if you try to get rid of it, you'll probably keep it around.
See, I think that you're used to being a smaller version of you than you are. And I invite you to be big.
Thank you.
Really?
That's awesome.
Huge wouldn't be bad either.
Are we going to see you on January 2nd for Transformation in the New Year?
Yes.
Good. Yes. Come and be big, be bold, be you.
Have fun.
Thank you.
Swing out.
All right.
And now we're going to have fun and go to a break.
Thanks for calling in today, Wendy.
Oh, thank you so much.
We'll be back after the break, everyone. Come on back.
And don't miss being here.
The new home for visionary positive change. Seventh Wave Network.
Want success in every part of your life? Then join the club, the Excellence Club, the Canes Online community of people bringing excellence to all aspects of their lives. Call and ask questions on being here. Write comments on the Transformational Moments blog and take excellence to a new level in the Premium Excellence Club. Get the newest articles, podcasts, and weekly videos, plus enlightening advice. Join at TransformationMadeEasy.com by clicking on the Excellence Club. That's TransformationMadeEasy.com. The Excellence Club.
Success, health, satisfaction. Now you can have it all. Ariel and Shia Kane make it easy with award-winning books like How to Create a Magical Relationship, winner of the Nautilus Book Award. Being Here, a collection of stories that inspire, amuse, entertain, and enlighten the soul. Or their groundbreaking Working on Yourself Doesn't Work, the three simple ideas that will instantaneously transform your life. These important books will hand you the keys to instantaneous transformation, unlocking new possibilities for health, wealth, and satisfaction in all areas of your life. And attend the Canes' fun, interactive workshops in New York, Germany, or even Costa Rica. Experience a quantum shift in your quality of life as you connect with a vital, supportive community and discover your own greatness. The Canes' books and seminars are the perfect enhancements to their radio show, Being Here. Why not have it all? It's as easy as visiting TransformationMadeEasy.com. That's TransformationMadeEasy.com.
Ready to be inspired, entertained, and enlightened? Let award-winning authors Ariel and Shia Kane support you in discovering a state of well-being that in the past was rarely, if ever, achieved. Now you too can experience Ariel and Shia's revolutionary new technology, Instantaneous Transformation, that has helped thousands discover how to have more satisfying lives without working on themselves or their problems. Visit www.transformationmadeeasy.com to receive free audio downloads and to sign up for the Canes weekly newsletter featuring articles, inspiring quotes, and stories from real people just like you who have discovered enlightenment through the Canes approach. Visit www.transformationmadeeasy.com. TransformationMadeEasy.com.
Be extraordinary. Seventh Wave Network.
You are listening to Being Here with hosts Ariel and Shia Kane. If you would like to participate in today's conversation, please call now. The toll-free number is 1-866-472-5795. Again, 1-866-472-5795. Now, back to Being Here.
Welcome back, everyone. I have a special invitation for you.
It's from both of us.
Our friend Colleen came up with a rather inspired idea. As we move into 2012, there's lots of doom and gloom type predictions. And she had the idea that rather than focusing on doom and gloom, that we all get together and look and see what we would like to have happen in sharing transformation this year out into the world. So her idea is that at 10 a.m. Eastern Time, 3 p.m. in the U.K., 4 p.m. in Central European Time, 9 a.m. Pacific Time, 7 a.m. Pacific Time, that whoever wishes to just takes a moment and looks in and casts out into the world their dreams and intentions for people to have the magic of transformation and instantaneous transformation and find out what's possible for them. So if you'd like to join all of us in doing that, you are most welcome. If you can't do it at that time, any time on the first that you touch base with it, take a look and see what you'd like to have happen for people this year in regards to transformation, and just send out your wish to the universe.
Making a possibility out there for people to discover transformation in their lives.
And this radio show, if it's meant something to you, might even be a great day to forward
a link
to this show or any of the archives that you like to your friends. So if you'd like to do that, you're invited. We have another caller.
Andrea, are you there?
I am here.
Hi. Where are you calling from?
Pennsylvania.
Hey. Nice to hear your voice.
Thank you. Likewise. Thanks for having me on the show.
Yeah, thanks for coming back. We got to speak to you not too long ago, actually.
Yeah.
That was nice.
It was. Thank
you. What can we do for you?
Well, let's see. So my childhood actually was one of those childhoods where I wished I was an adult. Like, I was actually more looking forward to being an adult than a child.
I think most everybody had that. Everybody thought, oh, gosh, when I get to go to school or when I graduate sixth grade or when I graduate high school, or everything was a forward-looking momentum for many, many people, so that's not unusual.
Yeah, and I always felt like I would be happy, and it's true. I have felt like through the years I've grown happier, so I actually feel like I've fulfilled that childhood desire. I guess my question is when I'm doing, like, creative ventures, I tend to, like, lose momentum doing them. Like, I get all excited about an idea, and then I'm like, eh, after a couple of days, it's, like, loses focus. And my question is, or I guess when I try to come to some reasoning around it, I, you know, can't really tell if it's because I'm...
I got something for you. You know, my sense is that you think a lot.
Yes.
And so you get inspired by life, and you get excited and enthusiastic, and you say, yes, that's what I want to do. But then that is often the future, and so you get engaged in your thinking about things, and you lose sight of what inspired you to go for these creative things in the first place.
Interesting.
Yeah, so you get distracted by what's going on in your thoughts, and you take your eye off the target, if you will, of what you said you wanted, and then you forget why you ever wanted it.
Yeah, I find a lot of times when I start something, I wind up judging it a lot. And then I feel like sometimes that slows down the momentum.
Yes, you take it apart in your thoughts, and then you say, well, why did I even want to do that in the first place?
And is this a good idea? Right. And you get very reasonable with yourself, and reasons are all in the mind. That's in change, good, bad, right, wrong.
And reasons are what you justify your behavior through, but it's not what your heart flows through. It's not what your desires, your if you could, your whims of fancy, your heartfelt
best expression of yourself.
Exactly. See, because you have these moments of genius where you really see what you want for yourself in your life, but then those are cut short by your sidetracks into why it doesn't really matter anyway. It's like nothing really matters.
Right.
And
yeah,
the truth is that certain things really do matter, like when you follow your dreams.
Well, this is not in particular to you, but I can tell you one that a lot of people battle with. They look at their bodies and they have the idea or the dream to be more fit. But in order to be more fit, there are always actions to take. You can have an idea of wanting to have a tighter belly or a slimmer waistline or to have more endurance and if you start where you are right now and you're not actually judging where you are right now, but you have a heartfelt desire to be more fit, then there are definitely steps that you need to take. But that registers to our minds as work. And then there's the I don't want to factor that comes up. And then most of us have a tendency to break our word with ourselves as if our word doesn't matter. And that's where we start losing the zest for life.
Right, because then you can't count on yourself. You know before you even start that you probably won't make it.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And so then there's no real win in anything, you know, like you talk yourself out of the beauty of life through your reasonable mind rather than, you know, you have an experience that excites and enthuses you. And then you start wondering if you really were that excited by it or it really was that impactful. Because you see, your memories of your experience are a code. They're like, you know, writing. They're not the experience itself.
Mm-hmm.
And so you have an experience that it gets you enthusiastic and excited, but in a little while that becomes only a memory, and the memory is only two-dimensional. It's lost its color and flavor and three-dimensionality. And so it's easy to get lost in that. But, you know, it is possible to discover the moment and rediscover the moment. And rediscover the moment, because the moment's always changing. And if you're here for it, then life becomes vibrant. And if you're thinking about whether you like or don't like your life situation,
then there's this gap, this padding between you and your experience, and everything gets mushy and pale and dim.
And we finish each other's sentences.
Yeah, we do. You know, a number of years ago, when we first started our Transformation in the Workplace seminar, we used to do this graphic up on the flip charts. It was about a time Shia rode his bike down the boardwalk in Far Rockaway. And there was a hole in the boardwalk.
The ramp was washed away by a hurricane, so there was this, like, ski jump type thing.
So he had the idea he'd go from one part of the boardwalk over to the next area and bypass the ramp. But he failed at that time miserably and crashed in between. Where there was no ramp, he didn't make it to the other side of the boardwalk. So we always posed a question to people, what would it take to go from here to there? And had people guess, and we built little pieces of the boardwalk right up to the place where people got the absolute answer. So if you wanted to make the jump from here to there, from thinking about a creative and being excited about it to actually doing these creative projects, what do you think you need?
Perseverance, I guess.
Okay, perseverance is good. We'll put that in as one of the planks on the boardwalk, but it's not the ultimate answer. What's another one?
To move forward even though my mind is not on board.
That's good. Move forward, even though your mind not on board. That'll build a plank. Momentum will build a plank. What else?
I don't know.
What it takes is totality. It takes going
totality.
With totality. Total engagement.
See, every time you doubt what you should be doing, you are basically putting out an anchor. Slowing yourself down. Every time you have a side thought, should I, when you've already said you're going to, you've dragged your foot along the ground and you're slowing yourself down. And why I crashed so miserably was I ran down this ramp and I built up speed and then I started wondering if I could make it. So I put my foot on the brake. But it was way too late because forward momentum carried me off the boardwalk. So I ended up with a bicycle on top of me.
You know, you don't have to look at the big projects that you're working on, Andrea. You can actually look at how you're working with totality in little ways. Look at throughout the day, the little things you're doing, take a look at doing those with totality. And then the big things take care of themselves.
Okay.
So we have to go to a break. Can you come back after the break and join us?
Sure, yeah.
Most excellent. She's thinking. Can you hear that she's thinking? We'll come back after
break. Maybe by the time we're back, we can get you through your thinking process so you can actually be.
We'll be back shortly.
Will that be okay, Andrea?
That would be great.
Excellent.
Excellent.
Come on back and don't miss
being here.
listening on a higher dimension. Seventh Wave Network.
Success, health, satisfaction. Now you can have it all. Ariel and Shia Kane make it easy with award-winning books like How to Create a Magical Relationship, winner of the Nautilus Book Award, Being Here, a collection of stories that inspire, amuse, entertain, and enlighten the soul, or their groundbreaking Working on Yourself Doesn't Work, the three simple ideas that will instantaneously transform your life. These important books will hand you the keys to instantaneous transformation, unlocking new possibilities for health, wealth, and satisfaction in all areas of your life. And attend the Kane's fun, interactive workshops in New York, Germany, or even Costa Rica. Experience a quantum shift in your quality of life as you connect with a vital, supportive community and discover your own greatness. The Kane's books and seminars are the perfect enhancements to their radio show, Being Here. Why not have it all? It's as easy as visiting TransformationMadeEasy.com. That's TransformationMadeEasy.com.
If you think you've seen online TV before, let us surprise you.
VoiceAmerica.tv is online now.
The leader in live internet talk radio has done it again. Multiple channels, a state-of-the-art viewing experience, live and on-demand programs streaming 24 hours a day. It's exactly what you want, when you want it.
VoiceAmerica.tv.
From health and wellness to business, sports, and everything in between. Discover our new world. Visit VoiceAmerica.tv now and experience the future of online television.
VoiceAmerica.tv.
Want success in every part of your life? Then join the club, the Excellence Club, the Kane's online community of people bringing excellence to all aspects of their lives. Call and ask questions on Being Here. Write comments on the Transformational Moments blog and take excellence to a new level in the Premium Excellence Club. Get the newest articles, podcasts, and weekly videos, plus enlightening advice. Join at TransformationMadeEasy.com by clicking on the Excellence Club. That's TransformationMadeEasy.com. The Excellence Club.
Listening on a higher dimension. Seventh Wave Network.
You're listening to Being Here with hosts Ariel and Shia Kane. If you would like to participate in today's conversation, please call now. The toll-free number is 1-866-472-5795. Again, 1-866-472-5795. Now, back to Being Here.
Welcome back.
If you are in the New York area on January 2nd, which is Monday night, or you're part of the European or Hong Kong community for the International Teleseminar, we're doing a special event on transformation in the new year, and you're invited. You can find out more about it on TransformationMadeEasy.com. Andrea, you still with us?
I am.
Excellent. How you doing?
Good.
Excellent.
Good.
That was more real time.
That was more real time.
Yeah,
you know,
too.
Thinking about how to do your life right, you can't.
But you can do your life exactly as you're doing it, and that's the only way you can do it.
The more you get engaged and the more you get fully up to speed, things become obvious rather than things that you have to battle through with your mind. It just becomes obvious whether to go left or right or to apply more gas or do something different altogether.
Mm. Yeah.
Well, thank you for calling in. We've got another caller on.
We really appreciate your calling today, really.
Yes.
Thank
and
you.
We have a caller calling in from Hong Kong.
Happy New Year.
Thanks, you too. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Cheryl, are you there? Cheryl?
Hi.
Oh, there
Hi,
you go.
There you are. Well, it took a long time to get from Hong Kong to here.
Welcome to the show.
I'm having a little bit of trouble hearing you guys, actually.
Oh, well, we can't really talk a whole lot louder, so hopefully it will translate.
Well, do you have a question for us?
Yeah, I do. And really, this whole show has just been really great, and I came into the beginning of the show with feeling a little bit of angst, and just throughout the show I've just been being more here. and my question really is about I feel like I it's more around relationships, and I think I had this childhood idea of, or story maybe but I feel quite strongly about it, that I had trouble relating to my father, but in general to my family. I couldn't express myself or my emotions very well. And I feel like I still carry that through as an adult. And I either, when I'm dating someone, I either hold back or I push away. And I want to have fun dating. I want to be more open and available. But I still feel that I'm really closed and really not going for it.
You
put an awful pressure on yourself to express yourself emotionally and all that. What, you know, that's a psychological paradigm, this express your emotions. What if you just lived your life?
That's what I've just been realizing throughout the call, and it's just I do put a lot of pressure on myself, and I'm going through a situation right now where I feel like I'm finally expressing myself, and I don't trust myself with that.
You're going to get better at it.
I am putting pressure on myself.
Yeah, practice really helps.
You know,
but you could express yourself in little ways, and then your ability to express yourself in the larger, more important ways will show up. You can express yourself by what you're going to choose to eat off the menu in the restaurant.
Yeah.
You know, you can look and see and then stick to it rather than second-guess yourself or doubt or think you should have gotten something else. Do you ever do that?
Yep.
Yeah, I thought it was you.
I can do that sometimes.
You know, Cheryl, in regards to dating, I had the luxury in my dating life prior to Shia, particularly toward the end as I was getting into position to actually flirt with Shia so that he would ask me out. I was dating several guys at one time. And in the weeks prior to our first date, I was dating at least five different guys. And in those couple of weeks, I was actively dating and often more than once with the same guy. So I was dating a lot. And what was really neat about that is that with person A, I would be clumsy, physically clumsy. Every time we got together, I was physically clumsy. With person B, we were conflicted. We were always like tension. You know, that with each person, there was a dynamic between us. It was something that happened between us. And then with Shia, it was suddenly
ecstasy,
fun and easy. And I didn't have to think about how to express myself. It just happened. I think you're better off not to analyze how you're being, but to get interested in the dynamic that shows up between you and the individuals you're dating.
So how do you feel with this when you're around one person, and see how you feel around another person? You just have to put yourself out there enough that you can be around enough people that you're sampling. You know, date enough people, Cheryl, that your sampling will allow you to discover that each person has a different effect on how you express yourself.
We have a friend who was dating lots of different people, found one person that she really liked, and they dated more significantly, and then he started to withdraw into himself. There were certain things, the activities she had that were really important to her that she wanted him to participate in, and he wasn't willing. And she said to him, look, I'm not willing to have a relationship with someone who doesn't want to join me in things that are important to me. And he did the classic, well, fine, then I'm through with you. And what she did was found herself another date. And the next thing you know, he calls her up, said, look, I don't want to lose you. I'll absolutely go with you to do the things that you want to do. It wasn't that he didn't want to do those activities. It was that he wanted to assert his independence, that he hadn't yet learned the art of surrender. But it was really important that she was willing to keep going and keep looking and not shrink to fit. And I have a feeling that even when you casually date, you're trying to be a small version of you.
Well, you're trying to turn the date into a relationship.
Yeah, I definitely shrink to fit sometimes, and then but then recently I had an interaction where I was very open and it felt really good, and we talked about why things may not have worked out earlier in the year, and it just felt really good, and I felt like this is the one time that I actually wasn't shrinking to fit, because I know I do that. But then it was the afterwards, then we talked it all out, and it's the silence since then. I feel like I've put it all out there, and now I'm not prepared to wait or or date.
Well, look, we're in the last minute of the show, but I got to tell you, it's a start. That you are open in that moment with that individual shows you a possibility for how you can be.
But you've got to keep being willing to express yourself, because otherwise you'll back away. You'll start to think, well, if it didn't work out, it's because you expressed yourself. It's not because you expressed yourself. Look, our relationship worked despite the fact that we did many things that
were unkind
and could have destroyed the relationship. But we wanted to be together more than we wanted to be right. And so we discovered how to find our way through the minefield.
So we're going to tell you what we told Andrea. And that is, go with totality rather than backing off to think about how to do your life. Keep going with totality, Cheryl, and it is a recipe for bliss.
Yeah.
Adult bliss.
Right.
Okay, we got to go.
Hey, thank you so much. Thank you very much.
And lovely having you call from Hong Kong. We look forward to the international call where we get to hear you next week.
Yes, definitely.
Thanks for being here, everyone. We'll be back. We'll see you in the new year.
So have a happy new year.
Yeah, and don't miss being here.
There for that.
Yeah. And come on back and don't miss
being here.
We hope you have enjoyed today's episode of Being Here. If you would like to learn more about instantaneous transformation, visit the Canes website at www.transformationmadeeasy.com. Transformationmadeeasy.com. Be sure to tune in next Wednesday for another exciting and empowering episode of Being Here.